Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This coming weekend on every continent on earth and in thousands of different languages, people will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Not only was Jesus resurrected, he is still alive. Today we begin a series called, What is Jesus Doing Now? In this series, Pastor Rick shares what Jesus is doing in the world today. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, What is Jesus Doing Now?
Throughout history, a lot of people have claimed to be God. Okay, but only one person proved it. Lots of people have said, oh, I'm God, or I'm a special prophet from God, or whatever. Only one person proved it, Jesus. He said, here's what I'm gonna let you do. I am God, and I've come to earth in human form, in the form of Jesus, and I'm gonna let him kill me, and I'm gonna die on the cross for your sins, and then 3 days later, I'm gonna raise myself back to life. And then, of course, that's why we have AD and BC, the calendar is split. Now, nobody else has done that. Now, let's just clarify the difference between a resurrection and a resuscitation. Resuscitations happen all the time. Somebody dies on the hospital bed and they're gone for an hour or 20 minutes or an hour and a half, and then they get resuscitated. That's not a resurrection. That happens all the time. A resurrection is when you die, they bury you, you put you in the ground for 3 days, and 3 days later, you bring yourself back to life. That's a resurrection. And Jesus Christ proved that he was who he claimed to be. Now, everybody else throughout history who has claimed to be God were either unintentionally deluded, in other words, they're a few fries short of a happy meal up here, or they are intentionally deceptive. And when somebody is intentionally deceptive, usually they want your money. But everybody who's claimed to be God throughout history has been a fake, a fraud, a liar, and a phony. Now, to be fair, you might be able to fake your own death, okay? Possibility. You might be able to fake your own death. But it would be impossible to fake staying alive for the next 2,000 years. That would be a con easily disproved. And with every passing year, there would be fewer and fewer eyewitnesses and fewer people to support your claim. That's why, for instance, today, nobody claims that Moses is still alive. Nobody claims that Muhammad is still alive. Nobody claims that Buddha or Krishna are still alive. Nobody claims that any other great philosopher or spiritual or religious teacher is alive today. This is a unique claim made only by Jesus Christ. Now, this weekend, all around the world, billions, literally billions of people will give personal witness and personal testimony that they have had a personal encounter with the living Jesus Christ. And if somebody said to any of those people, well, Jesus is dead, they said, couldn't be, I just talked to him. We just talk together. We talk together all the time. Now, the fact that Jesus Christ is still alive today is the most attested fact in history. It's why, as we say, they split history into AD and BC. AD means Anno Domino, in the year of our Lord. Your own birth date is judged in relationship to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so all around the world this weekend, people are remembering and they are celebrating what Jesus did about 2,000 years ago, where he died on the cross for our sins, so you don't have to die for them, and then came back to life to prove that he was who he claimed to be. Now, this is my 43rd Easter message, and I've never done a repeat of any of them. Because there's so much to teach on the resurrection, you can dig and dig and you're never gonna hit bottom. But I wanna, rather than looking back and say, what did Jesus do at the death and resurrection of Christ? I wanna look a different question. I wanna ask, since Jesus is alive today, what's he doing now? What has Jesus been doing for the past 2,000 years since the resurrection? Do you know? What's he been doing? Playing video games? Practicing his golf game? Learning a new hobby? Could you give the list of what Jesus has been doing for the last 2,000 years? Well, the Bible actually does give that list, and it tells us about a dozen things that he's been doing for you behind the scenes the last 2,000 years. So let's get started on this. If you pull out your message notes, it's inside your program. The most important thing Jesus is doing right now, write this down. He's building a family to love forever. He's building a family to love forever. Now, God's been planning this one since before he created the universe. In fact, if God had not wanted a family, the entire universe would not exist. Everything else that happens in history and happens on a daily basis is peripheral to the overarching purpose of the universe, and it is this: God wanted a family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, there on your message notes, it says this: God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And that gave him great pleasure. Now, you know, in a physical family, there's only two ways to get into it. You're either born into it or you're adopted into it. And you know what? God uses both of those ways and both those metaphors as symbols of salvation in the Bible. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again into God's family and we are adopted into God's family. Now, I want you to notice the phrase on that verse: this gave him great pleasure. Why does having the idea of having a family make God happy? Why did it give him pleasure? Because God is love. Now, let's review the basic. We've talked about this many, many times. The Bible says God is love. Not that he has love, he is love. It is his nature, it is his character. All love comes from God. There would be no love in the universe if our creator was not a loving God. All love comes from God. Your ability to give and receive love is because you're made in the image of God. And the theme of the entire Bible is how much God loves us. As I said, the only reason there's love in the world, it's because the creator is love. And that's why you're able to give and receive love, because God made you in his image. Now, God's love for you is unconditional. It is continual. It is extravagant. It is unearned, and it never stops. God loves you because of who he is, not because of what you've done or what you don't do. You were created by God. You were created for God, and God made you to love you. When you understand that, life's gonna start to make sense. If you've never experienced God's love for you, and you've never learned how to love him back, then you have missed the number one purpose of your life. You were made to be loved and to learn how to love back in God's family. Now, God's family is unlike any other family. There's a big major difference because human families, every human family is temporary. They don't last. People grow up, people move away, people get married and then start their own new families. There are separations, there are divorces, and there are deaths. But God's family, your spiritual family, is permanent. It's eternal. It's never gonna end. It will last forever. But God doesn't want you just in his family, which is gonna last for eternity, by the way. But he wants you to develop his family characteristics. In other words, like father, like son, like father, like daughter. He wants you to learn to love others as much as he does. Look at this next verse, Romans 8:29. From the very beginning, God has known who join his family, and his plan has been for them to develop the character of Jesus and become like him. That way, his son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Now, I want you to circle the word many, okay? He said, Jesus was the first of many brothers and sisters. God wants a big family. That's why he's waiting for more and more people to accept his love, his salvation, his forgiveness, his purpose. That's why Jesus has delayed coming back to earth. Have you ever wondered, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? He's waiting for more people to come to him. He wants a big family. He wants many sons and daughters. Now, the Bible tells us that the family of God has a name. It's called the church. The church. The church is made up of all the people who've ever put their faith and trust in Christ to save them and to transform them. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the church is the family of God. It includes every believer throughout all time. And that's why the very first thing that Jesus is doing, that he's working on right now, he's building his family. You may have never realized it, but when you put your faith in Jesus and you become a part of God's family, his growing eternal family, Jesus, get this, Jesus becomes your older brother. Yeah, look at the next verse. Look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus and the people he saves and makes holy, that's us, he saves us and makes us holy, all belong to the same family. That's why, underline this, he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Oh, you guys, this is an amazing statement, that the God who created the entire universe wants to call you my sister or my brother. No, becoming a part of God's family is a choice that you have to make by faith. Becoming a part of God's family is not automatic. It doesn't just happen to everybody. Everybody on earth is loved by God. Everybody on earth is created by God. Everybody on earth has a purpose that God has for their life. But not everybody fulfills that God-given purpose, and not everybody chooses to accept God's grace and his invitation to be part of his family. Now think about the logic here. God gets to decide the entry requirements for heaven, just like you get to decide who you invite into your home. And the condition for becoming a part of God's family is really quite simple. You put your trust in Jesus Christ's ability to save you, and you realize I can't save myself. Now, there's a lot more to it, but let me sum it up like this. Jesus gave his life for you by dying on the cross so you could have your past forgiven, you could have a purpose for living, and you could have a home in heaven. Nobody else on planet Earth can possibly match that offer because nobody else has ever died for you. But when you accept God's free gift of salvation, you commit to not only love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, but you also commit to love everybody else in God's family. Did you know that? You say, well, why does God want that? Because God is love, and he wants you to become like him. Now, notice this verse there on the outline, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28. You become children of God, how? Circle this, through faith in Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus. And he says, and when you're baptized into Christ, you are clothed with a new identity. So many people are confused about their identity today. He says, when you're baptized into Christ, you're clothed with a brand new identity from him. And he says, now you're in Christ's family. And he said, in Christ's family, notice this. He says, there is no division. In other words, no distinctions. He said, there's no division such as Jew or non-Jew, slave or free, male or female. He said, you know, these are irrelevant in the family of God. He said, we're all equal because we all share a common relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here's the second thing Jesus is doing right now. He's been doing it since the resurrection. Number two, he's not only growing a family. Number two, he's keeping God's family safe and secure. He's keeping his family safe and secure. Like any loving father, God doesn't want to lose any of his children. And of course, there are a lot of evil forces out there in the world that would like to try to hurt God's children. Because if I can hurt God's children, then I can hurt God. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to somebody about putting their trust in Jesus Christ, letting Jesus save them, I will hear a very common fear. It's a common worry. And people will say something like this, you know, Rick, I'd like to give my life to Christ. I'd like to trust him for my salvation, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I commit my life to Jesus, I'm worried that I won't be able to keep that commitment. There are so many temptations in my life. I'm doubting that I can keep myself saved. So then I just patiently explain that just as you can't save yourself from your own sins, you can't keep yourself saved. God doesn't expect you to keep yourself saved. That's the second job of Jesus. And he's been doing it for 2,000 years to make sure that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens to us or around us or through us, Jesus will make sure that our salvation is secure and we will make it safely to heaven to live with God forever. Let me show you a couple of verses. John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, Jesus says this, my people know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I've given them eternal life. Now circle the phrase eternal life. We'll come back to that. They can never be lost. Star that. They can never be lost. And no one can steal them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is far more powerful than anyone, so nothing can snatch them away. That's called eternal security. And that's Jesus' job, not yours. Now I want you to notice a couple things about this verse. First, circle that phrase, as I said, eternal life. A lot of people have a misconception about eternal life. When does eternal life begin? Well, most people think it begins the moment you die. Wrong. Eternal life begins the moment you invite the Spirit of Jesus Christ into your life. It begins from that second. And from that point on, you have eternal life. And it is Christ's duty and his responsibility to keep you saved and safe for heaven. This is why once you put your hand in Christ's hand, he's never gonna let go. Now, there may be some times where it's inconvenient for you to be a Christian. And they're saying, Lord, I want to go to this party, or I want to say this word, or I want to do this bad habit. And you squirm and you want to let go of his hand. But like any loving father, He's never going to let go of your hand. There are times you want to let go of his hand, but his love for you, he will never let go of yours. Paul said it like this, 2 Timothy chapter 1. This would be a good verse for you to memorize. I know Jesus, the one in whom I have believed, so I am certain, no doubt, that he is able to safeguard and protect everything I've entrusted to him until that day. This is the second thing Jesus is doing right now. He's safeguarding and he's protecting your salvation. He's protecting the salvation of everybody in his family who've chosen to become part of God's family by faith. You cannot lose it. I may lose a lot of things in life. I may lose my mobility. I may lose my family or my wife. I may lose my health. I may lose my mind with Alzheimer's. But the one thing I can never lose is my salvation. Because the second thing that Jesus has been doing for 2,000 years is making sure that my salvation is secure and I'm gonna be safely taken to heaven even if I lose my mind. That ought to put you at rest. Now here's the third thing. We just look at it, five of the things that Jesus is doing right now. This is gonna be a mind blower. Number three, write this down. He is praying for every need we have. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus is praying for you constantly? The Bible says it multiple times, that Jesus is praying for you all the time. So wait a minute, I don't get this. I thought Jesus was God. He is God. He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. You say, wait a minute, how does God pray to God? Oh, you never talk to yourself? Right. No, God talks to himself about you. You do this all the time. You talk to yourself about you. And why do you talk to yourself about you? Because you're made in God's image. What makes human beings different is God gave you the ability to talk to yourself. And God talks to himself all the time. It's one of the human abilities that makes you different from animals.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. You'll get hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick delivered to your inbox every day. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that he has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible. And includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible.
This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.